Welcome to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Good morning, America. Good afternoon, UK. Good evening if you're in India and beyond. And we're in the last week of February. What happened to February? It seems to have flown past and we'll soon be into March, but that means that spring is on its way. So I thought I'd be a bit springy today, wearing a springy jumper. We're going to be talking about money today, and sometimes money can have a lot of fear associated with it, or it can have a lot of excitement. What's really important about money is planning for it, planning to have enough when you want it or need it. So my guest today is going to be talking about our finances and financial literacy. But before we get there, let's have a look at what's been in the press this week about menopause. Usual, lots of celebrities going through menopause, bless them. In the Mirror, this is a strange story about a woman. The headline is Tiny Cut Led Mum's Shock. A mum who discovered she had cancer after she cut her hand while serving a roast dinner said she had attributed the symptoms to menopause. Jennifer Vaughan, 54, we got to know how old she is, from Wembley, London, brushed aside several months of feeling back pain and hot sweats, believing her body was simply transitioning to a new stage of life. The former teacher said she now owes her life to a random accident which led her to discover that she'd actually had kidney cancer. The cut that she happened in the kitchen while she was making dinner did not immediately need medical attention. However, she went to her walk-in GP later that day to get it bandaged properly. A week later, Jennifer noticed discoloration on the top of her palm beneath the cut finger, about the size of a 50 pence piece. I can't think what size of currency that would be in the US. I'm not sure if you've got a coin that's a 50 pence piece, but it's quite a big coin anyway. Moving on. I've got caught up now in her 50 pence piece. Her GP referred her to her local hospital, but Jennifer claims consultants were at first dismissive of her worries. But the concerned mum pushed doctors for an ultrasound and CT scan, and after a checkup at her local hospital, she was given the worst news of her life. A CT scan had found an enlarged mass on her left kidney. 4 months later, in April 2018, an ultrasound confirmed Jennifer had stage 3 kidney cancer. In 2022 now, her condition is stable and she's receiving oral immunotherapy and targeted treatment to battle her cancer. Why am I talking about that on this show? Because the symptoms of menopause are complicated. When you go to your doctor and you've got a range of symptoms and you're in a certain age range, they might either think you're too young for menopause and misdiagnose you with something else, or they think it's menopause and it's something else completely. So you know your own body and you have to trust yourself in thinking, does this sound right? Is something else going on here? Should I get this checked out? And, you know, if you're having excessive bleeding, or, you know, if there's other changes going on with your body that you just don't recognize, go get it checked out, because you can't be sure it's something benign. And so something simple like that, just getting a cut, can be the thing that actually helps you to get the right diagnosis. Moving on, another serious story, intergenerational violence exposure affects the age of menopause. This was reported in a number of news outlets, but I took this one from News Medical Life Sciences. Research on women's violence exposure is timely, as the COVID pandemic has elevated rates of intimate partner violence and child abuse. A new study shows that a woman's collective violence exposure, consisting of her own abuse and that of her child, speeds up reproductive aging to result in an earlier age of menopause. Study results are published online today in Menopause, the Journal of the North American Menopause Society, NAMS. You can find them online. Violence exposure has previously been shown to be associated with an array of mental and physical mental health problems. Newer research is additionally revealing its connection with the pace of reproductive aging. Earlier menopause, particularly before age 45, is associated with increased risks of heart disease, osteoporosis, and premature death. Associations between violence and accelerated reproductive aging in the early and later life course of women are believed to work through the disruption of the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis and the body's response to stress. Previous studies, however, have been limited to focusing on the effect of a woman's own abuse. In other words, not to the whole of her family. And the whole issue of domestic violence has been talked about quite a bit here this week in the UK. So I was really interested to see this study. And it also ties in with that conversation that I had with Dr. TLC only 3 weeks ago, where we talked about the effect of racism on menopause and aging as well, that people who every day are dealing with racism are experiencing more stress in their bodies, and the more stress you're experiencing, the more it affects the other organs of your body. So dealing with stress is absolutely huge, but this is really interesting in how it relates to domestic violence. Okay, moving on to better news, Post and Parcel, which I think is probably the magazine of the Royal Mail here in the UK. The Royal Mail has announced it has reviewed and enhanced its menopause support for its employees with its Let's Talk Menopause campaign. It's really good to see these big organisations coming in behind the menopause conversation and making practical changes for their employees. In a statement issued on Thursday, the 7th of February, Royal Mail said that the campaign aims to get the conversation going about menopause symptoms, raise awareness, and make a difference to Royal Mail employees affected by menopause. Royal Mail has also created a new Let's Talk Menopause internal group to enable anyone affected by menopause to network with each other. Royal Mail currently has 16,500 women employees who are likely to be experiencing menopausal or perimenopausal symptoms. So if you're helping 16,500 women, you're also helping their partners, their families, their colleagues. It just makes so much business sense to be addressing this issue, along with lots of other really good reasons. And I'm going to come on to another really good reason now. So this was reported in the Metro here in the UK, but in lots of other news outlets as well. I mentioned a few weeks ago the case of a woman who case had been to employment tribunal to court because of age and sex discrimination she'd experienced around menopause in the small business that she worked with. It was a husband and wife business that was creating dog food, and it was complicated by the fact that she was a whistleblower around what the company was doing around COVID restrictions as well. So it's a little bit complicated, but menopause was an issue, and I think we will hear why. So a middle-aged woman, we've got to know that she's middle-aged, has won an age and sex discrimination case after her mailbox shouted at her that she must be in her menopause. He shouted that from his office across the room so everybody could hear it. The incident happened at Essex-based pet food store Embark on Raw, where Lee Best, who was 52 at the time, had been working as a sales assistant for a year. Owner David Fletcher shouted inappropriate and derogatory remark at the top of his voice during a relatively small argument over an order mix-up, even though his employee had made it clear that she didn't want to discuss menopause. However, the tribunal ruled she had actually been sacked for raising her COVID-19 concerns and then victimised for complaining about Mr. Fletcher's behaviour. The tribunal, headed by Judge Bernice Elgott, ruled Mr. Fletcher invaded the claimant's privacy, broached a highly sensitive topic for her, and acted tactlessly in directly asking her as an employee, having the protected characteristic of sex as a woman, whether she was menopausal. He asked the question even after she made it clear she did not wish to participate in the discussion. We are satisfied that part of the reason for the company's decision to dismiss Mrs. Best is that she made a significant allegation of sexism and ageism against Mr. David Fletcher. The tribunal ordered Embark on Raw to pay Mrs. Best £20,057.74 in compensation. Now, that's not a huge amount, although I imagine it's pretty significant for a small company at this time. But the thing to know is that there is no cap on how much compensation could be paid. So this woman had been working there for a year. I don't think it's a very highly paid job that she was doing. But let's imagine that you're a woman who's been working for the same company 20, 30 years and you're in a leadership position and a manager makes that kind of remark or has some other behavior that's unacceptable, there is no cap on the amount of compensation that could be claimed. I prefer to stick to why it's a positive thing to support women, but employers have to know the risks of not supporting women as well, because this is an important issue. And at the moment, under the Equality Act, menopause is not what's known as a protected characteristic, which would mean that any kind of discrimination around it would definitely see you in tribunal. But if you can show that what's happened is related to your age and your gender, which menopause is, you've got a pretty good case going on there. So really important to know that. So I'm just going to have a quick chat with Ellen before we go to the break. Helen, how are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you so much, Pat. Happy to be here.
Great to see you. And I think you've been doing your own research. What have you found in the press this week?
I certainly have. Well, I found actually two very interesting things in the press. One of the things that I found in the press that I found super interesting, very much related to the stress factor you just spoke about, came out in the Times on Sunday the 19th, an article that said the 50-something burnout, are you on the brink? Get this, Pat, nearly a quarter of a million Britons aged between 50 and 65 have left paid work altogether and are not actively seeking new jobs. This was last week, and this is sort of COVID related. So it's that identity with purpose, et cetera. So again, I think we can tie this into our conversation about finance, stress, planning, everything we're going to talk about later.
It's really interesting because we hear this statistic quoted a lot that 25% of women at menopause consider leaving their jobs. Now, we don't know how many actually leave, but I think it's significant because I often talk to women who say, I don't feel well enough. I don't feel I can really do this job anymore. Or they have a moment of epiphany where they go, I don't really want to do this job anymore. I want to do something that's more fulfilling. And I think over COVID, we've seen a lot of people make that kind of decision of, what do I really want to do and what makes life worthwhile? So great, really good article.
Absolutely. And yes, many women do leave. More women leave the workforce at that time than men. So it is fascinating. And you would
wonder why. It is fascinating. And, has financial implications. Let's look at your second article.
So my second article, this one I'm super proud of because I'm coming to everybody from Geneva, Switzerland. I'm Swiss. My husband is Swiss. My children are Swiss. My family is Swiss. There was an article that came out in Forbes, the best countries to grow old in. Keep that in mind. Grow old, not get old. Grow old in. And Switzerland came out number one in the world. So I thought that was pretty cool to share with everybody.
Yeah, lovely. We're all moving to Switzerland.
There you go. With open arms, I'll welcome you in.
Excellent. So join us after the break when I'm going to be talking to Ellen about life beyond 50, the Swiss way, and it's five-dimensional. We're only going to be able to cover the one dimension, I think, unless we can stretch time a bit, but we're going to be talking about your finances. So join us after the break.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you You on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. And finances definitely is something that empowers women leaders. So my guest today is Ellen Kocher. She's an economist and certified workplace wellness consultant with a master's degree in health and wellness coaching, a health and mindful eating coach, and co-leader of the ICF Community of Practice, HWC. She was educated in the USA, but she's lived in Switzerland for over 30 years. Following 10 years in the finance industry, Ellen understands the challenges of a busy working life. In 2003, she lost weight and found her new self through nutrition and lifestyle change. Through her company, Wealthness, she has dedicated the past 15 years to nutrition and workplace wellness, promoting a non-diet, mindfulness-based eating approach, physical activity, holistic health, and self-care. Ellen has coached hundreds of individuals and groups in dozens of organizations to make sustainable lifestyle changes, empowering them to go from knowing what to do to actually doing it. There's a big difference. Ellen resides in Geneva, Switzerland with her husband and three children. Welcome, Ellen. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you very much, Pat. Lovely to be here.
So tell us a bit about your early career working as an economist, working in finances. What drew you to that area?
I think as often when we niche ourselves, the calling comes very naturally. It's not something that I was actually looking for. I moved to Switzerland to learn French post-grad. I'd already learned Italian. And while I was here with a degree in economics, I was sought out by the finance industry. And as some of you might know, Switzerland is the world of banks. Chocolate and watches too, but banking is the business here. I would have loved to work in chocolate. We can talk about that later, but I was called to banking and I worked as a management consultant for one of the large consultancy firms for 9 years. Yeah. Actually, I did that.
Yeah. So what made you change path?
Very good question. It was literally a wake-up call. I had a very busy traveling lifestyle. It was the year before I would have become a partner in the company I was working at, those big firms, you know how that goes. And I got pregnant. And it was after my pregnancy, I had my babies, I had my maternity leave. And you know what happens? We get a mindset shift when you're doing something different. I was no longer on a plane twice a week. I was no longer working with teams and having stressful deadlines. I was on maternity leave. And it was during that maternity leave, actually after the third baby, that I looked at myself in the mirror and I didn't feel like what I saw corresponded to the person I was before. Mm. So I decided to start by losing weight. And by the way, Pat, it was a big secret. I didn't tell anybody. I sort of went out to, I was a bit embarrassed, you know, I hadn't thought of it before. It was just a wake up call. And that was the beginning of my journey.
And so you then did your own research and training, and what made you decide to stay in that field? Was it just that's where the new calling lay?
Oh, this is lovely. Well, lovely question. Thank you, Pat, for that question. There's a stop in between there, because what happened when I actually lost my weight is the corporation, am I allowed to say the name of the corporation that I lost
my weight? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it was with Weight Watchers. I know everybody knows Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers actually reached out to me and they said, hey, Ellen, you've got this wonderful business savvy. You've got the languages and you're a great example of someone who's lost 50 pounds, you know, 25 kilos. Would you like to lead up our workplace wellness called Weight Watchers at Work? And I said, oh, I would love that. And they said, but we don't have any clients. So you have to find the clients. And that's where it started, Pat. My first client was the World Health Organization in Geneva. And then I got many, many multinational corporations. And I stayed for 9 years. Wow. And that shift between, so I've gone from business, you know, finance, businesswoman, stressful, to workplace well-being, where I stayed for approximately 9 years. And then I had a second kind of an epiphany. And the epiphany was twofold. First of all, I recognized that workplaces needed more than weight management. I think that's clear for all of us. Yeah. Stress, resilience, sleep, so many things were important that was not answering. And not only that, but many of the people that were losing weight would regain it. So I was seeing these yo-yos happen. And as well, on the aging spectrum, people would, their bodies would change and they wouldn't adjust with that. And they'd try to apply rules and it just didn't work. So I literally left, it didn't fit anymore. I wasn't feeling I was authentic in the work I was doing. And I left, but I didn't know I was going to create my business until somebody said to me, Elle, you walk the talk. You can't do something different. Gosh, I just got goosebumps saying it.
Yeah.
Because it's what grounds you. When you find your mission, your passion, your purpose, it's right. And you know it. Like meeting a husband, right? Or a wife.
But other people recognize it in you, don't they? That friend said to you, sometimes it takes somebody else seeing who we are in a way that we don't see ourselves. I mean, I had over 30 years working in public service. I worked in property and property taxation. And when I said I was taking early retirement, I was going to retrain, a woman said to me, and, you know, I was in a very male-dominated, a very technical job. And one of the women who'd known me for a number of years said, what are you going to do, Pat? Start your own ashram. And it's like she had seen that there was something different. And when I said, well, I'm going to train to be a therapist, she said, totally makes sense. So other people, we can't help but leak who we really are.
I think that's so true. And it's, you know, in the coaching world, that's one of the things that we do as coaches is we help individuals identify what others see. And sometimes it's simple questions. This is a great tip just to leave with people. When you say something to yourself, ask yourself a second question. Is that really true? Is that really true, what I'm saying to myself? And looking at yourself in the mirror is different than just being accustomed to who you think you are.
Yeah, absolutely. We've gone deep on that already. And, you know, I love just reading out your approach to weight management because it's so often simplified of you just need to eat less and exercise more. And it is so much deeper than that. If you've thought, oh, well, I have eaten less and exercised, I'm still not getting anywhere. It's because there's so much more to it. It's not your fault. That's just a kind of a myth that is put out there. And actually sticking to a different way of eating and being mindful, it takes some practice. You have to change the mindset around it. We could talk about that for hours. We're not going to. Although it would be lovely. So I have had the opportunity to read your book, Wake Up, Shake Up, Thrive. Tell us a bit about the five dimensions of well-being, even if we can't cover them all today. Let's just talk quickly about them.
I would be happy to. Thank you. Thank you for speaking about my book, Wake Up, Shake Up, Thrive. By the way, that name came out like that when we named our business. We want to wake up the conversation about our demographic world, shake up the mindsets so that we can thrive. And to do so, it's not about weight. It's not about what, it's the same conclusion you had. It's not about the ashram. It's about many dimensions. So we narrowed it down to five dimensions. You can call them what you like. We came down with five. Physical well-being, because that is basically the 70% of the illnesses and aging is due to our physical well-being, emotional well-being, intellectual well-being. That's about brain power. That's about keeping your brain alive and active. Spiritual well-being and no fears there, that's not about religion. It's about that purpose we just talked about, that grounding feeling when you know it's right. And just to say something you said earlier, keep in mind, and let's open our minds to the fact that that changes in a lifetime. If we live 80 or 90 years, I certainly hope I have multiple purposes that show up on my spectrum. And last but definitely not least is financial. Now, before we do that deep dive on financial, I'd like to bring in my Swiss touch here. I'd like us to think of these five dimensions like the gears of a Swiss watch. So as they intertwine, they all affect each other. Not one is more important than another. Financial. If you're not eating at the end of the month because you can't afford it, can you be healthy?
Yeah.
Are you emotionally happy? Of course not. So they're all intertwined. Think of this Swiss watch. Think of the gears shifting throughout your lifetime and think about you rewinding that watch every once in a while. You're responsible for that rewinding. So I quite like that Swiss metaphor that works quite well understanding the five dimensions, Pat.
Could we bring a Toblerone in there somewhere?
All right. I'm throwing it in right now. Which country do you think eats the most chocolate in the world per person?
Is it the UK?
It's Switzerland, the country in the world, oldest, best in. How awesome is that? I'm such a foodie and such a chocolate person. Swiss people eat more chocolate per capita than any other country. And we live the longest. And we're, according to statistics, we're the best country to grow old in. So how cool is that?
Well, of course you're happy. You're eating chocolate. I mean, what could be...
Exactly. And making watches.
But I do like these five dimensions that you've come up with, because when I talk about menopause, I think people think I'm just going to talk about hot flushes. And that is such a narrowed down version of what menopause is about, because it's about all of these dimensions that you've talked about. You know, there is the physical side of it. There is the emotional side. There is a spiritual side of it. And again, not trying to scare people by saying it's religious, but no, it's about a whole mindset shift, which becomes very spiritual, which is why a number of women do change their jobs at this stage of life, because they start to change their idea of purpose. As your body's changing, as it's kind of giving you the wake-up call, you're maybe halfway through your life, it's like time to reassess. Let's have a think about this. Where are we now? How are we doing? Where do we want to be over the next? And, you know, that's what happened to me. I thought, I'm not going to do this job for the next 10, 15 years. I don't want to, you know, end up retiring and sitting in a chair somewhere. I want to do something different and something meaningful. And it turned out to be menopause.
Yeah, and me too.
So join us after the break when we will be deep diving into those finances with Ellen. See you there.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause, where today I am talking to Ellen Kosher, who originally from America and having lived in Switzerland for 30 years, and she's a wellness coach. And today we could talk about a whole range of subjects, but we're going to talk about finances because this is something I've wanted to talk about for weeks, and finding somebody who would talk about it has not been easy. So I'm really happy that Ellen has joined me today. The way I think about women and finances is that we are so good at budgeting day to day. Women control a lot of household spending. If you want to target women with advertising, it's normally around household spending, but they tend not to be involved so much in the long-term planning, the planning for pensions, the planning for savings. So, Ellen, why is it that women are financially literate day to day, but illiterate when it comes to the longer term?
Very, very good question. And I just want to sort of prepare everybody. We're not going to be giving you financial advice today. And in fact, when we got to this chapter in the book, I could have brought in all my finance. And by the way, the name wealth is wealth plus health, WH, right? Wealthness for my business. And we really decided that what we needed to talk about was literacy mindset. And let's just start with your question there. I think that, like speaking about menopause, money is a little bit taboo. We don't speak about money. And some people, partners, actually quite like that. Could not speak about money. But it goes both ways. How many women spend money and they hide it from their partner or vice versa? Okay, so I think we have to be honest. We don't talk about it. Think about this, Pat. How often have you had conversations with your parents, your siblings, your spouse, and your children about money, the future of money? There's this little thing, it's kind of evil. I have one British friend. When she made her first million, she told her dad, so proud. You know what he said to her, Pat?
No.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. It's a mindset. So I think that one of the reasons that there's this gap, and we could talk a little about that financial literacy gap, is that we don't talk about it.
Yeah. And the reason that I bring it up in respect of menopause is that, as we were looking at in the news reports, a lot of women change jobs at menopause, leave their jobs. And often it's because they don't feel very well at work and they work part-time or they take jobs that are a lower level than their experience and qualifications because they don't feel like they can cope with something more. Some women just think, oh, it'd be so much easier to go and work at the supermarket, even though they're really experienced and qualified. And other women just walk away or, you know, they don't go after promotions. And you might think, oh, that was just me. I just thought I'd do that. This is what's going on in a lot of women's heads and why there is a 40% pension gap for women in the UK. You have 40% less in your pension pot than your male colleagues have. That is huge because, you know, the pension age has moved back and back and you're now looking at working till you're nearly 70. And then have you got enough money? I don't mean to sound really like dark about it, but what I really want to do is just wake women up. I want to
Let's wake up.
Let's wake up and see what's going on here. So what needs to change in the mindset?
Yeah, well, and the truth of the matter is, when we actually get literate, we can look forward to retirement. Mm. But as long as it's hidden, we're actually frightened. Most women are frightened. They're kind of in a state of denial. And not only women. And again, it happens for reasons that are not necessarily under our control. Many women leave the workforce for pregnancy, other reasons. They've got less built up into that pension. But knowledge really is power. So one of the things that we do have to do is start having those conversations. And we need to seek out expert advice. And, you know, one of the things I would like to just, again, this is an invitation. I would invite people to start counting. And when I say count, I don't mean count your pennies into an Excel spreadsheet. Let's first of all count, how often do you think about money? Mm. How often do you think about it? Is it totally preoccupying you? Are you in denial? Are you ignoring it? How often do you think about, count in the day. How often is it coming? How often do you talk about money? How often do you even speak about it? Count how often it's a preoccupation in your mind. And then the mindset shift, because of our age, where do I want to be?
Yeah.
We've seen a lot in the news now where some people are retiring, selling everything, living in a camping car and living naturally for the wonderful. Other people, they want to retire on a beach. Others want to be on a golf course. But it's about thinking about, where do I want to be? And then you can work toward it. And by the way, it's never too early to have this thought process. Never encourage your children. Wouldn't you love your children to be able to retire at 60 in the Bahamas? I mean, we all would wish that. So I think that in order to change this, we need to start by opening the conversation. We need to find people that are skilled where we are not.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first time I had a financial consultant, which was a few years ago, and sat down with her, and it was just so helpful. And things that she put in place then, I benefit from now. And this is probably 30 years ago that I just found this financial consultant. I was quite happy that it was a woman, because she would understand the situation that I was in. Mm-hmm. And it was really helpful to have that conversation then. And since then, I've always had a financial advisor.
It's interesting, though, that look how late in life you took that consultant.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people count on their employer to give them this information, and some employers do, but what they don't discuss are things like money mindset. How do you feel about money? What is your history? What is your family? What is your cultural background around money? You know, what do you want to communicate to your family and your children? Are you a spender? Are you a saver? And how do you want to be?
Yeah. And, you know, those family patterns around money, the messages you got at home about money, as you were saying about your friend, you know, you might have had messages that rich people were not very nice, that, you know, you shouldn't have too much because it means somebody else has got less. That's not
money
true.
Is the root of all evil, remember?
Money is the root of all evil, right? all of that. And you take those messages on board as a child, you might not even realize they're running in the background of your mind and affecting your decisions.
They completely affect your decisions. Yeah. And by the way, the statistics are 60% of the population 55 and over are actually preoccupied about retirement, about having enough money to survive and to pay their medical bills. So that's a huge amount. And we don't need to be worried. There's a way of anticipating that to not have that worry.
Yeah, absolutely. Such an important, what is the Swiss touch around finances?
So there are a couple of things there. As we said earlier, chocolate is very important.
Yeah,
of course.
To Swiss. You've got to have enough money to eat chocolate.
Yeah, it's super interesting because in terms of retirement, Swiss are really, really good at saving. Super good. In fact, they are the best in the world at saving per capita. And I actually have the statistics in our book. I do believe Finland had the lowest rate of savings. But we had to go one layer deeper. For example, in the United States, there are a huge number of homeowners. So their savings is wrapped up in their home and in their mortgage. In Switzerland, the very expensive country, not many people own a home. in terms of being, it's not proprietary. You have very, it's almost the exact opposite of the US. I kind of took the two extremes. So what people will do is they will build their retirement income up. And they will have a lot of savings. So that's an interesting, there's a very typical cultural difference in two places. Also interesting, you may not know this little fun fact. In Switzerland, we have four national languages. Did you know that?
I had.
You did. Do you know what the four are? I'm testing you.
Oh.
If you can remember.
French, German, Italian, and
Romansh. Yeah, it's Romansh is the fourth one. A lot of people think English, but it's normal. It's a mountainy language.
Yeah.
Within those areas, the way people save is very, very different. So I thought that was super interesting that even within a country, depending on the local customs, but Swiss as a rule are very good savers. And again, people that anticipate, they anticipate with calm. We talked about the relationship of stress. You know, with our menopause, with our retirement, and the people that don't anticipate don't have that stress, and we end up being the country that's the best country to grow older in. So we're doing something right there.
I know in Japan, I heard this on the news years ago, that women have what they call belly button money. Have you ever heard that
phrase?
That's
cool. Tell me more. No, tell me more about belly button money. I've heard of mattress money.
Well, belly button money is almost like an escape fund, you know, that they have the women put this money aside as their own savings. I'm sure belly button is some kind of colloquialism, but that's what it's called. And so the amount of money.
They have that big band around the belly. Yeah, maybe they would keep it in the, I don't know what we call that belt, you know,
is it an obi?
Kimono belt.
Like that? Yeah, I think it's called an obi or something like that. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so perhaps that's where they're keeping their money.
Maybe, yeah.
Keeping it safe. Great. What other tips have you got for us?
Yeah, another tip is know where you're at. We talked about counting earlier. Know where you're at. Don't stay in the dark. Pull out that stuff you're not looking at. Do that Excel spreadsheet. And if you can't do it, have somebody do it for you. And a cool thing would be ask your siblings, your children, ask your partner, but sit down and do a reality check. Know where you're at. That's the very first thing. The second thing is going to be identify kind of where you want to be. Yeah. So you can identify your proper gap. Again, do you want to be, you know, maybe earning less money and less fancy clothes and really happy because you have time with your grandchildren? Or do you want to be on the speedboat? No judgment call, but figure that out. What's important? There's your purpose. Identify, where do I want to be right now? What is my purpose? What is my driver now in my life? And then the third thing would be really to identify those options. So what can I do to get there? Do I need to work part-time? Do I need to, you know, sell some stuff off? Do I need to, whatever it might be, shift around some bank accounts? Whatever it might be, that's opening it all up.
Yeah, and I think as part of that is really looking to see where the money is leaking away, because money does leak. You know, am I paying for a subscription that I don't use? Am I, you know, where is the money that's going out, £10 a month, whatever a month, that if you took it all together would actually make a difference? You could be saving it, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, and we can say we women, we're really good at this. We do household budgets. You know, we remember those days. We all had periods of life. We skimp and save. And those little bits,
they really add up. Excellent. Join us after the break when we'll be getting the final pennies out of Ellen on her financial advice. See you after the break.
Join us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for The Mind Behind Leadership, where we focus on what leadership really means to us and to others. We have practical discussions with the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, owners of small businesses, and experts in psychology and behavior to get that inside track, what to do, what to avoid, and what really happens. Join me, Graham Dobbin, at the new time, 4 p.m. every Tuesday for The Mind Behind Leadership here live on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause, where my guest today, Ellen Kosher, and I are talking about financial literacy and why it's important at any stage of life and very important at menopause when you might be making decisions about the number of hours you're working, where you're working, whether you're going for promotions. It all has a big effect on your financial planning and your future. And you know, we were talking about the fact that all these things interlink like those gears of a Swiss clock. If you haven't got enough money, it's hard to eat well. You know, cheap food isn't necessarily good food. And so to eat things that will support your health and support your body and your emotions and support your well-being, you need a certain amount of money. So money isn't a bad thing. It's not the root of all evil. If you've got a bad attitude to it, it can be. But if you've got a good attitude about what you're trying to achieve with it, how you want to live your life, what you want to pass on to your children, these are really positive things to be thinking about. Ellen, we're heading into the last 10 minutes of the show. What do women need to know? What can you tell us?
I think there are two things that I would love to share. I love the fact that you just spoke about our legacy. Mm. Again, it's really a big chunk of the financial piece. What do you want to leave behind? Mm. And when I say that, I don't only mean in terms of finances, money. What contribution do you want to leave? What impact do you want to leave? And again, this can affect your choice to work or not to work. But I know if, for example, in the United States, if you do volunteer work, it can be deducted from your taxes. So there are ways of maneuvering your legacy so it is what you want. So I would encourage people to start thinking about, what do I want to leave behind? Who do I want to be seen by? And there's another thing, which we talked a little bit about mindset. And what I'd like to talk about is the abundance and scarcity mindset.
This is a big one, Ellen.
It's a really big one. Yeah, it's a really big one. And there's this one piece two things I'd like to share. So first of all, this is a really cool statistic from Ramsey Solutions. They conducted a study of over 10,000 millionaires. And one of the most fascinating findings was that 90% of millionaires believed they could become millionaires. Mm. I find that fantastic. That's not a small. And this, the abundancy mindset, it's not about spending more money. It's being generous with your thinking. It's not having that attitude, shame on you, or money is at the root of all evil. It's having a gregarious, open-minded attitude toward money. For example, I'm working a lot with older women entrepreneurs because they leave the workplace, they realize they have to work, and they're going to create their own business. Well, at one point, you've got to be abundant with your money and spend a little money, for example, to get help to do it right. And we need to be open to that, because if you don't, you won't get where you need to get to be true to your purpose, your identity, your legacy, all of these other things we've been speaking about. So It really is about opening that mindset. And it's something that we talk about in the book. And it's, again, I'll give you some links afterward to some little self-quizzes so people can test themselves and see where they're at, because now we're waking it up, we're shaking it up. But let's do something with it. Let's move to the practical side of things.
Yeah. Yeah, and putting something into practice. So if you've been listening and you think, oh, perhaps I should be looking at my finances, fantastic. Don't go back into your shell. Don't go back into contraction. If you're in fear about it, that's not going to help. If you're frightened of money, that's not going to help you. And you can be frightened. Some people are frightened of too much. Some people are frightened of too little. Mm-hmm. None of it is to be frightened of. It's about, okay, so where do I want to be and how am I going to get there? And when you're talking to financial advisors, find one that you like. Mm-hmm. This is really important. Financial advisors come in all shapes and sizes.
And lots are free. Lots are free of charge. They don't charge you at the beginning.
And they're all people.
Your employer.
They're people. And you might talk to the first one and think, oh, I didn't really like that person. That's okay. You don't have to like everybody. Talk to a few more. And then, you know, you're looking for somebody who listens to you. And that's what I found with my financial advisor. That she listened. She was asking me about risk and about how I felt about the future and what sort of places would I feel comfortable putting money. And so she was really listening and gauging who I was and therefore what I would want to do with my money. And that's really important, that you haven't got somebody who just immediately tries to sell you a product, but they actually listen to you and explain to you why this would be a good product for you or why this wouldn't suit you. I can see you're thinking about that, Ellen. What's your thought?
I am. You know what's stirring up for me is all of the decisions we make during menopause. And throughout, from the beginning of the news you shared, be careful about the decisions you make, whatever they might be, but financial decisions are important. Leaving the workplace is important. Becoming an entrepreneur is important decisions. When you're in that space of not feeling good, if that's the case, if you're having symptoms or if you're really stressed, pause, pull back. And as you know, this article I've made this week is about take that pause, somehow take that pause to have that bird's eye view to make a good decision that suits whatever that decision might be. That's what popped up for me there, Pat.
I'm so glad you said that. That's a really important point. Don't make any decisions from a place of fear or FOMO. You know, like, oh, if I don't get this now, I'm going to miss it. No, take a breath. Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you for saying it, because
you're
it's
welcome.
So important that you make relaxed decisions about it, that your brain isn't in contraction when you're thinking about this stuff. And if you're feeling fear, if you're feeling anxious, you might need to talk to somebody like Ellen, like me, just so you can calm yourself down and make some really good decisions around it. You're not on your own with this. There are all sorts of people that can help you. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anything else, then?
I have three top tips. Would you like me to share those three
tips
before we leave?
We love a top
because
tip.
I'm a very pragmatic person. First of all, on our website, Wake Up, Shake Up, Thrive, which we, by the way, we call it short WUSUT, WUSUT, Wake Up, Shake Up, WUSUT. And it's become a verb. I WUSUT, you WUSUT, we WUSUT. We have a resource hub. Tons of downloads there. Go and get your free stuff, get your free chapters, grab that stuff because it's really going to be useful for you. My three tips. Number one, to take stock. I'm going to give you a website that I find very good, and it is a UK website with lots of quizzes about your money mindset. Again, you're not putting in your financials. It's about what are you thinking and where are your priorities? Relate.org.uk. Relate, relationship with finances.
Yeah.
Very good website, very good quizzes. Please go to that and figure out where you're at. Mind the Gap. How does that sound, Pat, to you, to Mind the Gap?
That sounds like an amazing title.
A great title, right? I love your book. Mind the Gap. If you are feeling uneasy about the literacy thing, upskill. It's really easy online. We've got classes available. We've got people, you, me, lots of people available to upskill or to give you the confidence you need to move forward. Because that confidence is going to make you enjoy your menopause, embrace these years and thrive. And last but not least, something you and I do really well, Pat. talk, have the conversation, open up the conversation, plan the conversation, conduct the conversation, thank the other person for the conversation, follow up and do it.
Fantastic. So for everybody listening, if you've been inspired, don't just think, well, that was inspiring. Go and do something, start a conversation, go to one of those websites. I'll be putting them underneath the recording. Start upskilling yourself, because we want you to be thriving into your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, wherever you want to be at that stage of life, we want you to be thriving. Thank you so much, Ellen. This has been a brilliant conversation. I'm so glad we focused on finances. Money is not a dirty word.
It certainly isn't. And I will finish with the quote from our federal counselor, something that he said during COVID, which was, we need to act now as fast as possible, but as slowly as necessary.
Yep. Don't rush. Just do it at the right time. Thank you so much. Thank you today to my producer, Kyle, for everything that he does quietly in the background. Stay tuned for the Reverend Dr. TLC, Dismantle Racism. Today she's talking about liberation in community, and her guests are Tracy Jay and Manette Chilson, discussing how we can break down the ways in which we are enmeshed in certain systems. So that will be another powerful conversation with Reverend Dr. Tara Lynn. Join me next week when I will be talking to the wonderful Dr. Valerie Shepherd about happiness and all things around happiness. And have a brilliant week. I will look forward to seeing you next Thursday. Take care.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.